Welcome to Tori Mecha, Nachiomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Rena Foreman, and today we will be studying Yechezkel Perek Chaf, Chapter 20. The date is the 10th of Av. The year is the 7th year, counting from Galut Yehoyachin. The Chorban is getting closer, in exactly 4 years to the day the Mikdash will be destroyed. And at this moment in time, the Zikne Yisrael come Lidrosh et Hashem, to seek God. It happened once before. In Perek Yud Dalet, when the Zikne Yisrael came Lidrosh et Hashem, they came with an agenda, in confrontation. And according to Rashi, a similar motive is at play in our Perek. These Zikneim argue that if God doesn't listen to their requests regarding the impending destruction, they have no more responsibility toward God than a master toward a slave that he has sold, or a woman toward a husband who has divorced her. God responds by telling Yechezkel, "Et toivot avotam hodiim." Let's not talk about requests. Let's talk about the fact that the nation has held on to the toivot, the abominations of their ancestors, toivot avotam. In order to explain why he can't turn to their request, God proceeds to give a history lesson, outlining the deeds of the nation that have brought them to this point of no return. The Psukim go on to describe three stages in our history. Let's call the first group Dor Mitzrayim, the generation in Mitzrayim, the second group Dor Yotzei Mitzrayim, the first generation who left Mitzrayim, and the third group Dor HaMidbar, the Midbar generation. This is the generation of people who were the children of the Yotzei Mitzrayim, those born in the Midbar, those who ultimately entered the land of Israel. Anyone who knows anything about history knows that history tends to repeat itself. The history of our nation is no different. In our parak, God says there is an unfortunate cycle that repeats itself and it must be broken somehow. The underlying structure of the cycle goes something like this. Stage 1, God gives laws coupled with a warning label. Make sure to keep these laws. Stage 2, the nation rebels and forsakes the laws. Stage 3 in the cycle, the nation's betrayal and rebellion is so complete that God contemplates fully destroying the nation. But there is a stage 4. God doesn't destroy the nation. The reason, according to the text in Yechezkel, is because he wants to protect his name among the nations. Let's take a closer look at the Psukim in our Perek. Start off, Vayivada lahem be'eretz Mitzrayim, v'asayadi lahem le'mor ani Hashem Elokeichem. It all starts back in Mitzrayim, back in Egypt, when God first chose Israel and made his name known to them, making sure they realize that he is God. Keep in mind that idea of God making himself known is significant, and we'll see that word Yivada used in different forms throughout the Perek. In any case, when God first makes himself known to the people, God promises to take them out of Mitzrayim and bring them into Israel, the land flowing with milk and honey, the land which he personally scattered out for them. Bayomahu nasati yadi lahem, lo tzi'am le'eretz Mitzrayim, el eretz asher tarti lahem, zava'ach halav udvash, tzvihi l'chol ha'aretzo. And here is where the cycle begins. Let's look at stage 1, the law-giving stage, in each of these three generations, the generation of Mitzrayim, generation that entered the Midbar, and the generation that ultimately grows into Israel. What were the laws given to the generation of Mitzrayim? According to the text, they were these. Ish shikutzei einav hashlichu uvigilulim Mitzrayim al titama'u. They were to rid themselves of the gilulim, the idols of Mitzrayim, so as not to become impure by worshipping them. Now, let's look at stage 1 and the next two groups. Both of these groups, the group who spent their time in the Midbar after Yetziat Mitzrayim, and the Dor HaMidbar who entered the land, were given laws too. Let's pay attention to what they were. V'yitein lahem echukotai v'mishpatai hodati otam. I made my laws known to them. Notice that word hodati. Chukim u'mishpatim are the terms used in Sefer Vayikra to describe God's laws. At first, that language seems broad enough to basically cover all of Hashem's commands. But there is one very specific command that is singled out separately in this history lesson. In addition to the Chukim u'Mishpatim, God reminds us that he also commanded us to keep the mitzvah of Shabbos. For some reason, the text wants to draw our attention to one particular group of laws these Midbar generations were commanded about. They were explicitly asked to keep Shabbos. The text here tells us something special about these Shabbos laws. It tells us that it is an oath, a sign between God and man, showing that he is God. The first time the Shabbos laws are mentioned in our parak, the purpose of the oath of Shabbos is given as Lada'at, to know that I am God who is Mekadeshchem, the God who made you holy. When we're told about a later generation being given these laws, the purpose of the oath changes a bit. It is Lada'at, to know that I am Hashem, God that made you holy, God that made you Tov Yohanan Mitzrayim. Let's plan to get back to this and the discussion about Shabbos a little later, but in the meantime, let's get back to the text in Yechezkel. Once the laws were given, all should have gone smoothly, but alas, each of these three groups, the Israelites in Mitzrayim, those who left, and their children in the Midbar, each of them rebelled against the laws that God gave them. And when describing the rebellion of each group, God uses the same language. Each time, Vayamru bi, they rebelled against me. We've seen that word before numerous times in Sefer Yechezkel. Throughout the Sefer, the nation is consistently referred to as Beit Meri, a house of rebellion. And let's go back to the text and look a little closer at the description of the rebellion of each group. The text tells us about the first group. Vayamru bi, v'lo avu lishmo elai, ish et shikutzei einehem lo hishlichu, v'egiu le Mitzrayim lo azavu. According to these words, the first group, the generation that was in Mitzrayim as slaves, they rebelled by not ridding themselves of the idols of Mitzrayim. But wait, this is kind of puzzling. Back in the Chumash itself, we never heard about that before. We have no explicit mention in the Torah of the Dor Mitzrayim being guilty of serving idols. Why are we only hearing about this now? The answer isn't entirely clear, but perhaps in the moment when the slaves were actually worshipping Egyptian deities in Mitzrayim, God gave them a bit of a pass. It was never mentioned in the Torah, perhaps because God understood the people are subjugated and presumed things would get better once he shows them his allegiance to us, once he brings us his chosen people out of Mitzrayim. Except that in the end, things didn't really get better. The nation, even once out of Mitzrayim, continues to sin. And therefore, in the relationship between Hashem and Israel, there was this old wound that never quite healed. Once the pattern becomes evident, even the first example of it feels like it's part of the pattern. Imagine a marital fight. One spouse forgets to pick up the dry cleaning. No big deal. But then a few days later, it's part of a pattern. 3 days ago, you forgot the dry cleaning. Yesterday, you forgot the flowers. And now you forgot the milk I asked you to get at the store. Do you really even care? Okay, so we've looked at the rebellion of that group in Mitzrayim. They didn't rid themselves of allegiance to Egyptian deities. Now, let's look at the language describing the rebellion of the second group, the one who left Mitzrayim. Vayamru bi, they rebelled against me, Bei Yisrael, Bamidbar, Bechukotai lo halachu, Vishmatai ma'asu, Asher ya'aseh otam ha'adam v'chai behem, Ve'et shabtutai chilu ma'od. The rebellion consisted of all three things they were warned about, not following the chukim, despising the mishpatim, and desecrating Shabbos. Once we get to the third group, we have an almost identical description of the rebellion, except for one little thing. The Torah adds a description to the Chukim Mishpatim the people were given. Asher yaseh otam ha'adam v'chai behem. They are life-giving laws. God adds, these laws that you didn't keep, these are laws that a person can live by and in turn give him life. The origin of that phrase goes back to the Chumash, back in Vayikra, Perek Yud-Chet. There, the nation is warned not to follow in the ways of Mitzrayim and Canaan. Ani Hashem Elokechem, it says in Vayikra, Kema'aseh Eretz Mitzrayim Asher Yashavtem Bam Lo Ta'asu, Uchema'aseh Eretz Canaan Asher Ani Mevi Etchem Shama Lo Ta'asu, Uchukotehem Lo Te'lechu, Et Mishpatai Ta'asu, Ve'echukotai Tishmeru Lalachet Bahem. Ani Hashem Elokechem, Ushmartem Echukotai Ve'et Mishpatai Asher Ya'aseh Otam Ha'adam V'chai Bahem. Ani Hashem. I am God. Don't do as the Mitzrayim and don't do as the Canaan when you enter the land. Keep my laws, Lukim Mishpatim, which a person keeps and through which, V'chai Bahem, through which he lives. What does it mean, through the laws you live? Well, these laws were apparently designed to serve as a moral compass, to promote good life. And despite how good these laws were, Yechezkel points out, the people didn't keep them. Which explains what happens next in Yechezkel. In each of these three generations, the behavior of the nation frustrates God. Stage 3. It seems futile. Can't they understand these laws are good for them, God thinks? The people's almost irrational rebellion makes God contemplate destroying them. The language for all three generations is very similar. The words, Va'omar lishpoch hamati aleihem, I thought I would just pour my wrath upon them, appear over and over again. But for some reason, Hashem never follows through on this threat. Why? The answer is spelled out next in the Pesukim. It has to do with God's image in the world. For all three generations, we get a constant refrain. Labas leman shmi lefilti hachel leinei hagoyim. I acted for the sake of my name, so as not to desecrate my name in the eyes of the nations. That language, so that his name wouldn't be desecrated, lefilti hachel, it actually comes from the root chilul, the very same word used earlier in this parak of Yecheskel to describe some of the people's sins, namely the way the people desecrate Shabbos, ve'et shabtotai chilelu. The idea of God managing his reputation among the nations, how the whole of humanity comes to understand him, is an overriding theme here. You see it back in the Chumash too, when the Torah narrates Yetziat Mitzrayim. That story is replete with phrases such as V'yad'u Mitzrayim k'ani Hashem, they will know that I am God. The point is that God has a larger interest than just Israel in his dealings with this world. The way the entire family of humanity understands him is vital. The other nations must come to know him too. Doing something that could be completely misunderstood among the nations could be fatal to that goal. So, for example, when the people in the desert sinned with the story of the spies, the Meraglim, God voiced a desire to destroy the nation back then. And the way Moshe convinced God not to wipe out the nation of Israel is by appealing to this value, to the importance of God preserving his reputation among the nations. V'amru ha-goyim asher shamu et shamacha le'mor, v'bilti yachol et Hashem la'vi et ha'am hazeh el ha'aretz asher nishba lahem v'yishchatem b'midbar. The nations will think that God didn't have the capacity to take them out of the midbar. Similarly, after the golden calf, l'chaita egel, when God wants to l'chalo, wipe out the nation and start a new nation with Moshe, Moshe says to Hashem, Lama yomru Mitzrayim lemor bara'ahu ti'am laharogotam baharim ulachalotam me'al p'nei ha'adama? Why should the nation of Mitzrayim think that your main purpose of taking them out of Mitzrayim was only lachalot to wipe them out? That was all Moshe needed to say. And again, this point about God wanting to preserve his reputation is not a matter of God looking to safeguard his divine ego or something. It isn't self-centered. It is because God is looking to spread the truth of his existence and the nature of his values to the entire world of humanity. In line with this, when we come out of Mitzrayim, the very first mitzvah that we're given is the mitzvah of Shabbos. We're told to rest and not collect mud on Shabbos. God wanted us to emulate him by resting. But instead, even when we were first given Shabbos, we transgressed it by going out to collect mud on Shabbos. We couldn't resist going out to work in the fields to collect the mud on Shabbos, almost as though we had never come out of Egypt, almost as though we hadn't made the transition and were still in Mitzrayim working for Paro in his fields. Maybe this is why Shabbos gets special mention above as one of the sins Bnei Israel were transgressing in the Midbar, because it was meant to mark our transition from slaves to Paro to servants of Hashem. But we failed to put it into practice then, and we're continuing to fail now. Back to the text of Yecheskel, because of these transgressions, God says, V'gam ani natati lahem chukim lo tovim u'shvatim lo yachiyu bahem. So what did I, God, do? If the people rebelled against my laws, I subjected them to other laws, the laws of the nations, in whose lands they became exiled. Those man-made laws were often made by the whim of a dictator. They weren't laws you could live by. V'chai bahem, like mine, their laws are mishpatim lo yachiyu bahem, not laws one can live by. One way or another, you're going to be subject to laws. The only question is, whose laws? God was meant to have his name come into the world through the people keeping divine laws that were good for them. But if they reject those laws consistently and rebel against him, God's name will become known through a different process, the painful process of exile and eventual return. In the words of the text, laman asher yedu asher ani Hashem. We mentioned earlier that this parak begins with Zkenim approaching Yecheskel with complaints against God. Now, after outlining these patterns in Jewish history, God is ready to answer the Zkenim. The text states that God says to Yecheskel, "Habederach avotam atam nitma'im? Do you continue making yourselves unholy by following in the ways of your fathers? If so, chai ani ne'um Hashem imidaresh lachem. By God's own life, I can't grant your request to save the nation." Mournfully, if the people resist God's laws, granting them life, then God's life, the essential quality of the divine, has to be expressed in history in other ways. The parak concludes with a meditation on how it isn't really possible for Bnei Israel to escape their historical destiny. V'ha'oleh al ruchachem halo tiyah. What you imagine will not come to pass. Asher atem omrim niyeh kagoyim k'mishpachot ha'aretzot l'sharet eitz ve'even. Your thoughts of giving up on me and blending into the other nations and serving their gods, it won't work in the end. How so? Because Im lo b'yad chazaka v'zronet tuya v'chemash v'cha em lo chalechem. I will rule over you with a yad chazaka v'zronet tuya, strong hand, outstretched arm, and with anger. Sadly, we've heard those words, b'yad chazaka v'zronet tuya, before. This was how Hashem took this out of Mitzrayim all those centuries ago. But now, God promises that if Bnei Yisrael refuse to live up to their destiny, if they fail to have allegiance to the Creator who bent the rules of nature for them, then God will use these very tools, which He used to save us, against us. V'heveti etchem al midbar ha'amim. And instead of bringing you into the midbar as a waypoint to get you to Israel, as I did when I saved you from Mitzrayim, this time I'll bring you into a different midbar, the midbar ha'amim, the midbar of subjugation to the nations. And once there, v'nishpatati etchem panim al panim. These words, panim el panim, stir our memories too. The last time God spoke panim el panim to a human, it was back in Sefer Shemot, to relay the Yud Gimel Midot, the 13 attributes of mercy. But now, sadly, nishpatati itchem sham panim el panim. When I speak face to face, it will be in mishpat, in judgment. Va'avarti itchem tachat hashevet. I will pass you under my stick. But the parak ends on a more hopeful note. God projects toward the future, to a time when all of Bnei Israel restored from exile will be more faithful to Him. V'nikdashi b'chem le'nei ha'goyim. Then my name will be made holy before the eyes of the nations. Thank you for studying together, Le'ilui Nishmat Riva Schwab, Rivka Bat Alexander.